What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. Today I have a couple of young Lions winners and competitors, some fierce contestants. Lions being short for Cairn Lions, Cairn being short for the Cairn Lions Festival of Creativity. I believe that's the full name, which is the biggest advertising festival in the world. It happens every June in the south of France. If you're there this year, let me know. I'll be there doing a little session called something like Strategist Therapy. Everyone's going to have headphones on and I'll be walking around the room talking about difficult topics and doing some ASMR. Yes, living my best life. Today I have two amazing strategists. First of all, I'll introduce Monica Fakasova, who's a senior strategist at Triad, which is an agency based, I guess, in Slovakia and Czechia, Czech Republic. Although Monica actually lives in Portugal, Monica has won the Young Lions competition in Cairns. So we're going to spend some time talking to her about that experience. But we also had David Cerveni, who's a strategist in Prague at Zaragoza, who's competed four or five times. I've seen four or five of your case studies. You're only 26, so you've been competing since you're 11 years old in the Young Lions competition. And you came third globally in the same year that Monica came first. Happy to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. Monica, how good did it feel to win number one?
Oh my God, it was amazing. We competed online because obviously COVID times. It was 2 years ago. But then we had the opportunity to go on a stage and get this reward in front of this big audience. So that felt absolutely amazing for me.
Okay, we'll talk about the case in a second. You're currently based in Portugal, but you work into the Slovakian and the Czech offices of Triad. You know, I've been so fortunate enough to travel. I hadn't been to Eastern Europe. Joking! That was a joke! I got you so good. I was in Prague about 7 or 8 years ago. It's actually the first time I did the content that is in my book and is at the heart of my masterclasses. And I remembered saying, this is the first time I've been to Eastern Europe. Everyone was like, this is Central Europe, it's not Eastern Europe. So I got you. That was such a good dad joke. But what I've come to learn is that there are these really amazing pockets of very creative talent, whether it's designers, art directors, whether it's strategists, writers, etc. It's just that outside of certain regions, people don't tend to know about them. Quick example is like Romania is highly prolific at winning Effies. I don't think a lot of people outside of Romania would know that. With your feet in the Slovakian and the Czech advertising world, but living in Portugal, having competed in France, can you give an outsider a sense of what the industry there is like? Is it vibrant? Is it hungry? Is it falling apart? Like, what's the energy there?
I think there is a huge difference even between Slovakian industry and Czech industry. From my perspective, we are really hardworking. And also, we have all these sources from abroad. We watch Cannes, we watch Clio. So we have all of this information that the rest of the world has. We just, from my perspective, are super humble. And we don't talk about our work enough. That's the biggest difference I see, because I used to work also in New York. I did a traineeship there for 1 year. You know, US and States, everyone talks a lot about their work. We are just not like that. I think that's the biggest difference. Even compared to Czech Republic, David will agree with me that they talk more about their work. They talk about Effies a lot more than in Slovakia. So I think this humbleness, it's our core, even though we do amazing work.
Yeah, she's right. But in comparison with US or Western States, it's still, we are silent as a mice. So yeah, I think the confidence and the proudness of being in advertising is a bit lacking over here. It might be on an upward trajectory, but it's pretty fresh kind of work, because in the communist regime before 1990s, we didn't do advertising. So it's still 30 years old profession. So we still have a lot of growing before us. So I think it's pretty normal that we are not on the kind of mental level as Western states are in this very subject.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that a little bit. I watch a lot of geopolitical and sometimes like meme-based geopolitical YouTube, like Gatsu, who's from Georgia, ironically living in Europe, Geopold, who's British. And, you know, so they will talk about, you know, the crazy stereotypes in the Balkans and how Czechoslovakia fell apart and why, but it's hilarious and a little bit racist, and they say based a lot. So I keep young. David, how do you think that delayed introduction of advertising, 1990s, still affects the industry now?
It affects in a way that when the Western advertising came to our nation, we had Western budgets. So we kind of, the spending here in advertising, oh, so I've heard, was incredible to Czech or Slovak people. Then everything was kind of cut down. And then we have Central European, because Eastern European is a big trigger. Then we have Central European budgets and it's a bit harder. So we kind of, we started very high and then it went down a bit, the atmosphere. In advertising, I think the most prominent thing is especially in strategy, because I think there is a second generation of strategists here in Czech Republic. I think the kind of the oldest strategist guy, he started doing it in 2005. We had our Polit or our Stephen King in 2005. It's 20 years later. So we are building on very, very fresh start. So not only the advertising itself is a bit delayed, but especially the strategy here is a bit delayed. But we have awesome people with experiences from abroad that are trying to live the whole thing.
I agree with David, because in Slovakia, all the strategies know each other. We are like 12 of us, probably, the well-known. And there is a huge gap and lack of experience in this field. So I totally agree with that.
In my mind, Slovakia is mostly represented through the one bookstore that sells my book, which is Brot's Book Deli.
Brot's Deli Book. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's owned by an advertising agency and, you know, they sell largely like design books and advertising books. It looks really, really cute and just so cool. Like you couldn't do that in New York. You couldn't have an agency and then set up a bookstore unless you were just crazy wealthy. So I love seeing that. Monica, why is Central Europe so racist towards Eastern Europe? Because for a lot of history, kind of the same empires.
I don't think it's like that. It's just that we really want to be part of what's going on in Western Europe as well, because we have this courage to do it. We have all of these amazing creatives. So we need to have a space to actually introduce our work to world and to be acknowledged. And that's why we don't like that term, because then it separates us from the rest of the Europe. And I think we are on the same level nowadays. So we should be part of the global discussion, I guess.
And don't ask about relationship between Czech and Slovak, because we would be here for a long time.
We are really competitive.
The further east you go, even to like Georgia, which is kind of in the middle of everything, a lot of people in this industry are looking west, you know, like what's going on west and can I get approval from the west? And I have mixed feelings about that, right? Because it obviously reeks of insecurity and there's almost like a colonialism built into the notion that where you are is not good enough until you get recognition from a London, from a Paris, from a New York. What's your response to that?
I guess it's also about clients in Slovakia and Czech Republic, because they see work outside of our countries as well. They want to have the same work as, for example, Italy or France has. So they have these desires. So they need to know that we are as good as them. That's why we want to prove that to world first, so that we can prove it to our clients as well this way.
I think the issue is that you don't see the reality, because you said it yourself in the West. You know how to talk about things. You know how to show the things in the best light. And it's something we don't necessarily do. So we kind of understand it that they say it is how it is. So we see only kind of in a golden way and we perceive it as a reality, or at least I do. So I think I see the best things in London, best things in New York. And I think like, okay, so this is how they do it. This is absolutely insane. This is on multiple levels beyond what we are doing. But you know how case studies work. And we don't always think that this is the kind of the case study way of telling things, or at least I do perceive it as a reality. So I see the golden things and I think like, okay, this is not what I am doing. So silly me.
So what do you think would need to change in the two countries, which are very competitive? What do you think would need to change in order for you to feel you're at the same level as quote unquote the West?
So I think it's a matter of budgets, and also entry fees for all of these competitions are insane. And most of the agencies in Slovakia, I don't know about Czech Republic, are not able to afford it. So this is something that I would consider as a huge gap and a problem. So maybe if we could somehow promote our work better and show it to outside world, without paying such an insane amount of money for competition entries. So that would help a lot.
But if we're looking at a linear, let's call it instead of a path to purchase, path to improvement, that's at the very end because that assumes that the work's good enough. What I thought you were implying is there is good work happening, but generally speaking, it's not necessarily at the level you would like it to be at. So other than petitioning for cheaper entry fees to award shows, what do you think would help, or what's in the way of the markets your country is doing bigger and better work?
I think, Mark, it's about getting better at the PR side of advertising. I've seen, I think yesterday, a smelling billboard from McDonald's in Netherlands, I think. It ran around the world like two or three times already. I've never seen work, and I don't think that we necessarily always do worse work than this. I've never seen work from Czech Republic or Slovakian Republic run around world.
To go viral.
To go viral, like in this way. I don't know if we don't have connections to Adweek or Adage journalist, or where is the problem? A little bit beyond my level. But I've never seen Czech or Slovak work go around the world like this.
Okay, so you think the work's good enough, you need cheaper entry fees, but what's not happening is you're not getting the media exposure of the work when it's in public. One of the reasons for that is because you're not in cities where all of the journalists, sure, some of them remote, but there's such a difference when, you know, New York is a media city, London is a media city, et cetera, right? And people are out and they're seeing things and they're talking to friends about stuff and boom, there's an article. So that's an interesting problem to solve for. Okay, so your identification of the problem is that the work is good enough, yet it's not hitting the news cycle.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Monica, how did winning world number one in the Young Lions in one of the years change your life?
Probably it didn't change my life that much, but also I got a lot of attention of Slovakian media and Czech media. That was nice. Also, I got a lot of job offers, of course, because what we are struggling as an industry in Slovakia nowadays is a lack of young talents. But I think it's a problem everywhere. It's not just Slovakia. So that was also nice. And it helped me personally because I got more confidence. And I think it's really important for a strategist to not to be scared of doing things differently, to think about stuff differently. And this proves me that sometimes this thinking outside of box can be good. So I'm more brave enough, or I'm brave enough to share this with clients as well on a more daily basis.
A little American tip. Yeah, I have an Australian accent if you're tuning in for the first time and whatever. World champion is how you could refer to yourself. You know, winning the Young Lions, number one, etc. Just call yourself world champion.
I cannot even believe it when I say it.
I know, but just do it for 10 years and you'll see your life will be so different. Free tips from me. Could you tell me about, like, what did you win for? What was the brief that you received and what was the thinking that you shared back?
Yeah, so basically the brief was that during COVID, a lot of nonprofit organizations lost their donations because people had another problems to solve. They didn't want to donate money as much as they used to. And this organization called GUA Africa was about to lose a lot of their income from donations. And our aim was to encourage people to donate more, of course. And this organization was focused on kids to getting better and proper education in Africa. I think it's a really nice topic. And our aim was to encourage people to actually get familiar with the topic and increase the number of donations. And what we did was that during the live briefing, because how Young Lions work is that you have a briefing in the morning and then you have 24 hours to solve that problem, to crack it, to bring the best idea you can. And during this live session briefing, there were such a nice insights, even from the sentences that people from GUA Africa was saying. And one was that these kids have such a nice dream, such as, and simple dreams, such as being a teacher, being a doctor, being a lawyer. So super simple dreams. And we turned these dreams into the physical, tangible things. So basically our idea was based on creating a Lego characters based on these dreams. So we had a nurse, but it was a story about this little kid who wants to be a nurse. And basically, someone who bought this character, the Lego character, could donate the money to GOA Africa. So super simple.
And you had a partner?
Yes. So how it usually works that you work with one person, but you don't have to. But for me, it's better because I don't know how to do the graphic stuff. So I need some wizard to do the work for me.
We'll talk about that 24-hour period in a second. David, you've obviously entered the local Young Lions competition and came third as well. How has that changed your life doing all of that?
I don't know if I've got, if we could call it problem the same as Monica has, but I think it didn't change much at all as well. It might be an issue with the selling myself or selling ourselves as a nation. I got a lot of job offers as well. There is problem with spotting young talent, not only in Slovak Republic, but in Czech Republic as well. I stayed in the same agency. I like it here, but I think it improved my position. And the most of it, it improved my position in eyes of our clients. They took me more seriously because they read about me in the news. So they took me more seriously. And I think having a respect of a client as a strategist is so important.
A little bit of exposure and an increase in credibility. How else has entering this competition helped you, for both of you?
For myself, it helped me working better with the creatives because in 24 hours, you don't have time to argue. You really need to cut through the stuff and settle on brief. And it's very important that you do the brief together. You come up with the strategy together with the creative. You don't need to sign up with the creative, but I did and Monica did as well with copywriter. So we did the strategy together and then we did the creative solution together. And once you gain the perspective from the kind of the creative side, how to do the strategy and what they feel is important, and then you basically brief yourself and do the creative solution part, then you kind of get what's important in the strategy. And it helps you on actual clients when you don't do the creative stuff, you just do the strategy stuff. But you can way better imagine how I would feel being briefed to this because I'm getting briefed to this, right? So you gain perspective.
So you are getting briefed and you're getting briefed with a problem and then you're writing a brief and then you're responding to a brief. So that's nice, nice practice. Monica, any other benefits?
Yes, for me, because I competed already 4 times and I won quite a few times. What's the best thing about this competition is that it teaches you how to come up with idea, but also present idea, because you need to create a deck around it and a visual board. So you need to structure the deck. You need to have a really striking insight, then come up with the idea, explain the execution. So you learn a lot of stuff during this process that you can use in your real life too, in your real work. And this is probably the biggest thing that I learned during this competition is how to structure what I want to say to client. And it's really important because you need to get attention from the first slide. And it's important for the competition, but also during presentation for any client and any work.
I think it's very important to focus on what's similar and what we learned. But I think what's very interesting is like what's not similar and how the competition is absolutely different from the real world, because it's needed to understand that you have a judge, it's a competition, and your jury are people from creative industry. There might be one client, but usually, at least in our category in media, it's people from creative industry, it's people from media agencies. And the way you present an idea, the way the idea is judged is very different than how you present an idea in a real world to, let's say, a real client. And they judge different perspectives. And it doesn't necessarily mean that when you win either me or money like 3 times in Young Lions in local round, that we are necessarily like the best strategist in Slovakia and Czech Republic. We just fit the atmosphere in this competition, but it's a different beast to do real work to real client. I would say it's like it's different subject almost.
Totally. I mean, there's definitely been small eras since I've been around where what's awarded at the big award shows, but also with something like a Young Lions, there's often a gap between what's pragmatic, what's practical, what will work for the brand and what wins. And sometimes it feels that a sense of nobility of making the judges feel good about their industry. But also sometimes if you make a technological recommendation that the judges don't understand but wish they could, like, hey, we're going to do a takeover of Fortnite. No, you're not. I've seen little phases of this, you know, and I think the award shows are relatively aware of it, and they're trying to close the gap between something that would be more pragmatic, could actually be done, versus this sort of judge zeitgeist of nobility. By the way, if I talk like this, it sounds like I'm a conservative mind, and I'm not. I'm also kind of neutral. I'm not going to say I'm a critical thinker, because that's what people on the far right say. I'm not that way. But, you know, sometimes these things, you're like, what, that's, you can't do that. That's what?
I think in Slovakia, they are really strict about this. You need to prove to juries that this idea will work, especially for some of the categories such as media. You have a strict budget. So, you know, while you are briefed and while you are creating the idea, in what kind of budget you can work with. So it's easier for us to make it feasible at the end. And they are really strict about it.
David, could you take us through your favorite? Is it the one that you came third with, your favorite entry?
My favorite entry is not the third in a global round. It's one of the local round we have won. It's our second try. It was the heaviest brief I've ever seen. It's about children's psychiatric care in Czech Republic, and it's a huge issue that we don't have enough professionals here. They are either too old, and the number is so low. It's a competition, and let's say rules about actually doing the stuff we are trying to propose are a little bit less, right? So our task was to recruit more students of medicine to pursue the career of child psychiatrist. And we have come on an interview with one of the experts and one of the parents of a child with issues. And she said that the best way to get help here in Czech Republic when your child is mentally sick is to try for suicide. Don't kill yourself, obviously. This is the point, the focal point you can actually get help.
What you'd heard is the only way to be taken seriously or to have your mental health problems taken seriously
Yes. Is
to take the most drastic of...
Yes, to actually get help from a professional and get some medication, transcribed medication. So our solution was to create a manual for children how to commit a suicide the best way so you don't kill yourself as well as it doesn't look like you are just trying for something.
So basically how to fake your own death.
Yep, and we made a manual how to do that.
Reminds me a little bit of Dumb Ways to Die in Australia, where you're like, okay, if it's that bad and that extreme, the idea is let's follow through on that. Okay, so you made a manual.
So we made a manual. We wanted to distribute it in comparison with our partner Bambule, which is a toy store. We wanted to distribute it directly to our target audience, and we wanted to take someone who actually had to commit a suicide to get help, someone who kind of got to the tragic end to actually do that and have a audition on university during the kind of decision process of the medicine students what advanced career they would like to pursue. I think this was the one of the heaviest brief I've ever seen, with the most unhinged solution I've ever presented. That was very important, that this was only competition, but it actually got published. And some people thought that we were actually doing it, or we had wanted to do that. So there was a bit shitstorm in Czech media, at least on Czech LinkedIn and Facebook about that. So we kind of did our PR stuff there as well.
If we just separate like the impact of that kind of idea in the world, or people even knowing about it, from the idea, I think it's amazing, an amazing idea, because it sees a very difficult truth and then it one-ups that truth and says, okay, if that's the truth, let's make it extreme to prove how dumb that truth is. It's a little bit of like my favorite meme right now, the soft guy era, where all these guys are making jokes about the soft girl era and how there's all these videos of, I know this is gendered, don't hate me, where people are like, you know, if you're going to take me out for a date, I'm going to spend $2,000 on putting on my makeup. You should at least spend $200 on the dinner, all this sort of stuff. And the guys are doing the opposite, but it's the same dynamic. If you just look at it, at the mechanics of the idea, okay? The challenge, as you know, with this kind of idea, and having worked a little bit in the space and having dealt with the issue, is that even mentioning the word suicide, if someone is ruminating and they're in a spiral of self-harm, there's, I think, a little bit of research, I've not read it, but a little bit of research that just even mentioning it, people get nervous, and the institution or an organization will get nervous that it could encourage the person to actually follow through. So super complicated.
I think the good rule of thumb is the extremeness of the problem should dictate the extremeness of the solution. And we kind of followed it there.
I like that. I like that. Do you like suicide jokes?
It's a thin ice after what I've just said.
People struggle when you talk about it in a plain spoken way. But if you've dealt with it, if you've lost people to it, sometimes you do talk about it in a plain spoken way. I've interviewed people about it. And there's just this joke that it was me. I delivered it. It's not really a joke, but I caught up with John Lyons, who is on this podcast talking about self-harm and suicidal rumination in London. And I got him so good. The first time I met him in public, and I just went up to him and said, "Are you still here?" And he got it. He was like, "You have to have gone through it." And then it's like, "Oh, that's really good." So I'm just saying, I'm trying to meet the neutral energy. And it is funny with this industry, not to make light of the topic. It's funny with this industry when you deal with a lot of very complicated personal topics that over time, sometimes you talk about them in a really matter of fact. Like I've been in rooms talking about periods with 20 women, grew up with a single mom, etc. Like it's not going to irk me that much. And then you realize outside of that room that maybe you have to behave a little bit differently. I don't know. But sometimes you sort of get into these topics and you get really caught up in trying to solve them and the nobility in solving them. And everything is just fact because you're like, okay, I just have to deal with the facts. How do I do something that's going to change this? And that's where your energy goes. It's quite interesting. Do you identify with what I'm saying, trying to say?
At least I do. The important thing is still have some empathy because usually the way we present our work, we are really cheerful. We have like lots of energy and we almost kind of dance to the 5 minutes presentation. Well, once we presented this, definitely the energy of the presentation matched the idea. So we understood the kind of complexity and the heaviness of situation. And I think once you kind of at least sustain a bit empathy in the solution and in the thinking about the problem, you just don't kind of dumb it down to, let's say, numbers or just data, and you still see the people behind the data. I think it's all right.
Monica, I know the results for Slovakia are coming out in a matter of days, so you might be competing for the last time in the Young Lions, which is not to telegraph age or anything. How do you make the most of the 24 hours? Are there things you might do before it, after it, that also make the most of the experience?
I think the rule number one is to enjoy it, because it's still a competition. You don't do surgery or stuff like that. It should be fun, so since the beginning, since you get the brief, just enjoy the moment. That is my rule number one all the time. And also focus on problems, on human problems that you try to solve. Because sometimes we see the brief and we jump straight to generating all these crazy ideas. But maybe to think about first of what you're reading, like what's important from the brief, how the target group is acting, like what are their passions, interests, simply human problems and insights. I think if you can tackle this, if you find a striking insight, the idea will come naturally and it helps to the process a lot. And also my tip number three is don't drink during the process of creating the idea. Because obviously we as a creative people, we usually have sometimes one beer, small beer, whatever. But it doesn't help at all. So just focus on what you need to do. Do the best work and write everything down, every crazy idea that comes to your mind during the brainstorming process. Because usually the best idea is the most crazy one for this kind of competitions.
So both of you go in with a way of working. Now, it could be a framework, a mental framework. It could literally be a framework, a structure that you use to make sure that you have your ideas, that you're presenting them well. Because I've seen with some people doing these things that they're not sure how to work when they enter them and they spend all their time just getting frustrated with their partner and flailing around. Whereas if you know that first thing you're going to spend an hour doing research, you're going to identify some of the behaviors, the pain points, you're going to identify a really key problem, then you're going to do this. And it's not that it has to happen in a linear way necessarily, but you can chunk your day based on a shared philosophy about how to work together.
Yeah, I think the shared philosophy is vital. With my partner, Judita, we are basically practicing for Young Lions the rest of days in our year because she's the main creative I'm working with. So we have been practicing for Young Lions for past 5 years. So we already know what we are trying to do. We freaking hate brainstorming just kind of from the start. So we do our research separately. then we do the notes in the same document and we don't always need to talk to each other. We are sitting next to each other, but we are already editing the things in the document. And she's writing stuff, I'm writing slides. It's almost like army-like task separation or task distribution in our team. I don't think it's necessarily a rule, but this is how we do it.
I think it's all the time different. For me and my partner, we usually work like I start with all the research and context and insights, and then he joins and start brainstorming, and he's really like visually based. So we start building the board first without any presentation. So we need to see how it works together visually, and then we start building the deck right after. So there are many, many different practices, but what can help young people to compete in this competition and create some structure for the presentation is Pinterest. If you write down into like Pinterest search bar visual boards for young lions, there are like 300 of them and they are all perfect. So it's a great tool for inspiration for sure.
And you know, I'm being a strategist and having only like 2 or 3 slides for a strategy. Yeah.
Very limited space. Yes.
What are some techniques? I think you both either mentioned or implied the need for the presentation of the idea to grab people's attention really immediately. And I don't know why this is just not something we all do and we all know. A lot of what I've seen is like slide 1, response to brief. Slide 2, 8 bullet points. Slide 3, what you asked of us. When you read books about writing, screenwriting, they always say start in the action. And what that means for most writers is they delete the first 30 pages of the novel that they just wrote. But also, if people want reference, think about TikTok. Get that hook in. Think about Netflix. Often before the titles come in or whatever you call them, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe the scene I just saw. I have to watch the rest of the thing. What techniques do you use to get people's attention?
So what I do usually is that my first slide is always a creative hook. So something really striking. It can be headline from the news that I found during the process of brainstorming. It can be just 2 words that set up the mood for the rest of the presentation. But it really needs to be something that people or juries will remember throughout the whole presentation. That's the most important part.
And we go straight to the problem. We usually start with the problem. No introduction, just straight facts, either from data or the news, whatever. And let's say highlight how it differs from the brief. Because the brief usually states some problem or at least the area we should be working in. And I think the way to win it or place high is to push the brief. So we start how our problem differs from the brief. It could be exact opposite, it could be somewhere else, but really try to highlight where we think the brief is wrong, where we think we are better or further, but definitely highlighting what we bring differently. Because the jury, they wrote the brief, so they are intrigued, maybe a little bit offended, but at least we have got their attention from the very start.
Yeah, because usually the brief has a business problem. But you need to turn that business problem into some human behavior from my perspective. And that's really important for the rest of the process of creating the idea.
There's so many reasons to start with a problem as a default, although Monica, I mean, you can have all kinds of hooks, but problems help us sell. There's research in the Harvard Business Review about that. Stating a problem up front can provoke outrage in people, right? Which is a successful emotion to deploy. I've never tried to provoke outrage in advertising. Sometimes I do with social posts, but not like crazy outrage, just like, meh. Maybe there's a little bit of humor involved with the problem as well. It's like, oh, and there's a teaching moment. So starting with a problem actually brings to life a lot of the things that we've learned about what makes successful advertising. Have you ever started a presentation with props or with acting something out? So for example, David, you know, when you talked about the handbook, like how to fake your own death, you know, imagine having 3, 4, 5 kids walk in and you've drawn things on them to show the problem and say, this is how far you have to go to actually get mental health.
That would be a great idea. The presentation is almost right after you send the presentation. So there is a little time to actually organize something this glamorous, let's say, or something like this kind of logistically problematic. But in last year in Cannes, when we got shortlisted, we had basically a hiring campaign for Earth because there was some global warming issue for youth. And we made a hiring campaign And our main network was LinkedIn. And we actually sent, I think it's LinkedIn in message or some like request to all the juries. And we started. So, well, you can imagine how the campaign looks like. Well, we won't show it to you, but you can see it on your mobile phones. We call it gimmicks. And I think these gimmicks are important. And I think the best placement is either at the start, but it's not bad at the end as well, because the last impression is almost as important as the first.
Good luck. I hope to see you in Cannes if you make it there this year, which I'm sure you will. It sounds like you have been, well, both building up to a moment to maybe go 1 and 2, maybe tied first place this year. I love it. Monica, if people want to find you on the internet, where's the best place to look?
Oh, definitely LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so it's my place to go for inspiration.
David?
Yeah, for me, LinkedIn would be great as well. David Cerveny, I think just copy what's written underneath this Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast. It would be easier than spelling my name out.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for being here. I look forward to maybe seeing you in France. David may be in Prague in June after Cannes. But best wishes with everything. Delightful to talk to you both.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Please. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend, subscribe to our newsletter, find us on Instagram or LinkedIn at Sweathead. And if you're interested in finding out about our strategy, memberships, company training, or books, visit sweathead.com. Whoop, whoop.